David Klatso, consulting forensic scientist, didn't use that number to call me. He used my private number to call me earlier today, and he told me a tale so interesting, I thought he should tell it to a wider forum. David, good afternoon.
Hello, John. Thank you, and hello to your listeners.
You have been working for some time now with people who have been defrauded. They've had money taken out of or many bank accounts after a SIM swap has been done, and
indeed,
that continues to happen.
Well, it is continuing to happen, and it's very interesting to see that nothing really is being done about it. The basic modus operandi is that you go in for some kind of interaction with Vodacom. Vodacom is the prime offender in this melancholy story. But you go in for some sort of interaction, you buy a new phone, or you buy a new SIM card, or whatever the case may be, and you then run into problems. Sometimes you don't even need to do that. Sometimes your phone simply goes on the blink because somebody has hijacked that phone in the central area of Vodacom, and they've managed to hijack your number and put you offline, in which case they then reinitiate the deal with Vodacom. They then have at the same time managed to get access to your bank account in a way which I'll explain in a minute. But once that process is done, those two players are now online. What they then do is they get money out of your account. The bank sends them a one-time PIN. It goes no longer to you because your number no longer belongs to you. It's been swapped to some other criminal. And it goes to them. They get that PIN number, and they then clean out your account. Today's one is even more interesting in that the client went in to go and change his phone, which involved getting a new SIM card. Within a short period of time, a day, his phone went on the blink. And in fact, it turned out that his contract was cancelled, not by him, but by somebody within the confines of Vodacom. Vodacom then took a month to sort this problem out, during which time the client was systematically defrauded of a significant amount of money. Now, the two players that are involved here are Vodacom, who are prime in this. They constitute probably the vast majority of my cases. The second one is Absa Bank. And those two are very high on the list of the involved parties.
Which suggests, David, that there are people within Vodacom who are colluding with people within Absa to identify clients who are vulnerable and who have money which is worth stealing.
John, you hit that in one. That's absolutely correct. It cannot be done without some kind of collusion on both sides. And in fact, strangely enough, I'm sitting with an exceptionally, at the moment, while we're having this conversation, I'm sitting with an exceptionally skeptical senior advocate who shall remain nameless, who, when I suggested that the bank might be involved, poo-pooed the idea until he transferred a significant amount of money to replace a broken car that he had. He wrote off his car and had to transfer some money to pay for it. And within a very short period of time, after the money hit his account, he was phoned by an investment advisor who is not part of the banking deal to ask him how to invest his money and to advise him about gambling with his money, etc. So the banks are not looking after the fiduciary duty which they owe you. Now, getting back to this one, this poor fellow was not only defrauded, but Vodacom then charged him a 6,000 Rand cancellation fee. And they kept charging him for this, despite the fact that they were the miscreants.
But David, what to do about this? Because Vodacom is a company with many thousands of employees. Absa is a company with many thousands of employees. It would be hard to do the kind of checking on each and every employee in big national companies like that to root out the rotten ones. So,
well, you see, that would be partially true if everybody was rotten. And I don't think everybody is rotten. But remember that both these organizations have got dedicated fraud teams that work on this sort of thing. And if by now, which is nearly 2 years down the line, they have not identified, as the Hawks have done, the Hawks have identified a criminal element within Vodacom. If Vodacom hasn't done this, number one, number two, if they've not made their their platform that they're using more robust so that this cannot be done. And number three, if the banks have not made their platform more robust so this cannot be done, then I hold them responsibly collectively.
You see, what I struggle with this, with the scenario as you've outlined it, is why would Vodacom and APSA take the reputational knock of being mentioned in connection with these stories in a phone conversation like yours and mine, or this sort of thing appears on the internet, it appears in newspapers and so on? Why would they be prepared to take the reputational knock of being associated with these corrupt practices and not take the robust steps to minimize greatly the risk that members of their staff could be involved?
I cannot answer that fully, but I can tell you this. Vodacom, as a knee-jerk response, do nothing. The banks, as a knee-jerk response, offer you half your money back. Banks have never offered you anything for free, ever. That's the first thing. The second thing is that both organizations say, and I don't believe this for a second, that it's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a percent. If it is such a minute quantity, you should, in honest, open business, say to your clients, we're going to come to your help. We're going to make this right. Because if it is such a tiny amount, it's but a drop in the ocean to them. But I think that they are concerned that they're going to open the floodgates. I think that is the one concern. I think the second thing is that they have so diluted the quality staff that they each have that it's very difficult to act against these staff. There are lots of people in the bank who can make more by colluding with the criminals and hiding their traces, by the way, than they can ever make as an honest salaried employee. But the point really is that we need to get somebody online to say, number one, why is Vodacom so resistant to discussing this? Why is there not a senior official of Vodacom who's prepared to meet with me and discuss the issue openly with me? Why is that also true of the bank? The banks are not prepared to come to the party and discuss the matter openly with me to see if we can find a solution. And let me leave you with one thought. I am well aware in an email that I received that an IT company provided the banks with a way around this. The bank said, but we've already got a way. The IT company said, yes, well, what is that? They said, well, it's the one-time PIN. The next thing that happened was the bank said, at least the IT company said, well, that's a useless thing. The bank said, we're aware of that, but that's the client's problem. There's a cynicism which concerns me about big money-making corporations who are not interested in the plight of the small man. And it's the little guy shafted by this entire process to make more and more and more money for these two vast and gluttonous organizations.
Dr. David Klatzer, strong stuff, consulting forensic scientist.